Welcome, everybody, to the Prima Nocta Podcast. I am the Loaf. To the right, I have Toop.
Yep.
And in the house, we have local organic vegetable farmer, Pete Bianco. Pete, welcome.
Thanks for having me here, guys. Just a little correction on organic. We're not certified organic, so legally we can't use that word. It's a $500 yearly fee to be certified. And the reason that we decide not to do that at our farm is because the customers come to the farm. They can see what's happening. They can ask us any questions about what it is that we do there. What kind of, if we're using any chemicals on the vegetables, and you know, how we're controlling insects, things like that.
It's kind of where we live here in upstate New York. It's kind of an out there kind of concept. How did you get into this whole type of lifestyle?
Well, a few things. I met Nancy Grove. She was doing this, and she's started Old Path Farm.
Cool.
That's the name of our farm, Old Path Farm. And I was influenced probably somewhat by my grandparents. I had two grandfathers that had big gardens. And also, before I met Nancy, I met this woman who was very distraught over a movie that she had seen. She was going to school for microbiology, and she was in a program that maybe was leading up to doing things with genetic engineering. And this movie, The Future of Food, was talking about all the problems with genetically engineered food and the corporation Monsanto, and how they were negatively impacting farmers.
Side note, did you give her an organic schlong to lean on? My shoulder? Nothing like that? No, just kidding.
Nothing.
Jeez, a Prima Nocta podcast.
Prima Nocta podcast, fucking ladies and gentlemen.
So the genetically engineered stuff, that is, give me an example. I guess I don't understand. It grows better, grows faster. What are they doing that makes it?
Are you for it or against it too?
I'm totally against it.
Okay.
I just don't see that there's a reason that we need to genetically engineer things. Right now, Monsanto wants to make a genetically engineered golden rice. And this rice would have beta carotene in it, and they want to bring it to places like Africa and feed them this rice because they have vitamin A deficiencies there. One of my guests I just interviewed recently on a radio show, she was telling me about that foods that are high in beta carotene, it's harder for your body to convert that into vitamin A.
Yeah.
So if they were feeding this food to these people, they would actually get vitamin A deficiencies.
Yeah. So it's not natural.
It's not natural.
It's not natural. You're changing the genetics of a plant to make it the way you want it.
And Toop, to answer your question, one of the things that they do that makes it different is they're going to take corn and genetically engineer it so that the corn has...
Pesticide,
thank you, and engineered to be in the corn, so when the insects try to eat the corn, they eat the pesticide.
That sounds like a great idea to feed your kids some corn that's got some pesticides in it, doesn't it?
So,
I mean, I can see the boardroom, you know, where they're like, you know, so we got this corn, right? And this is how we're going to sell it.
Let me ask you a question. As far as, like, a lot of these, like, diseases that it seems like cancer is more on the rise, right? I mean, do you think, where do you, in your opinion, being, like, a guy who's into kind of like environmental type of sciences and stuff, do you think a lot of that comes from our environment, our food? In your opinion, like, where do you see why it's, so much of this is popping up amongst people?
Yeah, I'm not a scientist, but what my general feeling for it is that it's like a death of a thousand cuts, that we have all these different things that are stressing our body. We got chemicals in the food, we got chemicals in the air, we got pollution in the air. I guess those are all kind of chemical things. We got stress. Stress is going to do that kind of stuff. I guess it's just my philosophy. Oh, and then we've got electromagnetic.
That's a new cell phones one. Side note, I saw a commercial, and they were talking about the hotspots now that they make with these phones.
Mm.
So, like, your phone can be an internet hotspot. And, you know, the girl presses a button, and they show, like, this wave of electromagnetic radiation. My wife pointed it out to the net, and I thought, it's kind of fucked up, because, you know, we don't see all these things.
But it's everywhere. It must be everywhere.
And how can they know yet if it's really affected, you know, what's going on with our bodies? It's fucking nuts.
So there's a lot of things where if I don't feel like I know that it's safe, then, or if I suspect that it's dangerous, that I really want to try to keep it out of my life. So I don't have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to, you know, limit my exposure to stuff like that, or, you know.
And oddly enough, it was pretty easy to get a hold of this guy.
It was pretty easy to do it.
It was easily. I approached the microphone. But, it, you know, we were so programmed. Like, I have no landline now. I'm all cell phoned out. I got my iPhone, and I'm cool.
Yeah, so what do you do? I mean, you got a pager, or what are you doing?
Well, when I was looking for Toop, he sent these smoke signals. I had my binoculars. Right. I was up on the hill.
He sent it by hawk.
Yep. Actually, dead hawk on the farm. I think it flew into, I think it was a baby hawk, flew into our greenhouse and died. And I showed the dog, and he ate the whole thing.
You know, I did that before. When I lived in Northern Vermont, we had a pheasant, what's that bird?
Grouse
fly into my window, and me and my buddy were sitting there, and it hit the window. I thought somebody threw a rock at my window. I'm like, what the fuck is that? So we look out on the porch, and it's like taking its last shiver. Mm. And I look at him, and he's a savage, you know what I mean? So he's a survival, you know, it's got his fucking, 20 minutes later, we're like laying the thing with rosemary, I'm cutting potatoes and stuff, we gutted it, fucking ate it right there, it was delicious.
No waste.
Man.
Wow.
No waste. So your farm, Old Path, how do you do business? You have people have memberships, is it where they come and shop there, is it a storefront, how does that work?
It is a subscription, so people pay $500, it's like a magazine subscription, you pay $500 at the beginning of the year, and you get vegetables for about 20 weeks, and people come and they pick up on the farm. So mm-hmm. we grow about 100 varieties of vegetables. We got maybe 10 varieties of lettuce, 10 varieties of tomatoes, maybe 6 varieties of potatoes, 2 nice. Varieties of leeks,
nice.
All kinds of different
So you
things.
Can't technically call it organic, but you're not using pesticides, you're not using chemicals. You know, I talked to a woman at one point who was trying to get an organic name, and but she had a problem because in one of her barns there was pressure-treated wood. And I guess that is like a no-no on, for whatever reason when you apply for it.
What so, kind of, was she dairy farm?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was. I just thought it was kind of curious. And I think that you mentioning that people can actually go there and converse, you know, and see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, earlier you were saying, you know, you go to Walmart, you go to Hannaford, you go to these stores in this area, you know, and the labels, first of all, you can put anything you want on the label. Let alone, you know, everything's all natural now, you know.
Yeah.
And it says that, but it, you know, then you turn it around and read the ingredients, and you're like, how is this all natural?
But if it says organic, it's got to be organic, right? I mean,
organic,
or
you have to get
some kind of too.
You have to get certified for it, and that's why there's a legal side to the organic. It's legally regulated. The word natural isn't regulated, so anybody can claim anything is natural because there's no legal definition for it. But with organic, that's why we can't use that word for our product, because you'd have to be certified for it. There's another thing called Farmer's Pledge that you can take, and in the Farmer's Pledge, it says what all the different standards are,
mm-hmm.
and different farmers go to different farms and monitor one another. And so if you take Farmer's Pledge, then another farmer comes and certifies that you're following those practices.
That's cool.
Interesting.
So we did that once, I believe. I don't think we're still doing it.
Are you pretty well received in this area for what you guys are doing? You're starting a little bit of a mini, you know, revolution or what? People are eating better?
Revolution, man.
Yeah. Seriously though, I mean, right? I mean, people are down, right, with what you guys are doing?
People are very supportive. Customers are very supportive. Even people that aren't customers that just hear about what we're doing are excited about it.
Is Chinantry supportive? I'm just kidding.
You know, we, for a while we were trying to sell to, local.
Do local any restaurants buy
suppliers? No, not at this time. And we decided that was just, too difficult.
Yeah.
They didn't, need enough things frequently enough. The model that we're using now is the easiest for us because we got 75 members. So on a Monday, we've got 40 people coming to pick up. We're going to get 40 bunches of beets, we're going to get 40 heads of lettuce, we're going to get, 40 bunches of onions.
Mm-hmm.
That way, we know exactly what to harvest, and it's all accounted for. So, let's say instead of that, if we were going to go to the farmer's market, we might harvest all this food, bring it to the market, not sell it,
mm-hmm.
then have to pack it all back up and bring it all back home, and then we got to find a home for
so
it.
So you guys aren't doing farmer's markets, you stick to the...
Right, this was our first year not doing farmer's markets, and it worked really well for us.
On a personal note, like, what was it like? Was it like, don't, like, love at first sight or something? Like, did you guys were, like, picking fucking roots and rhubarb and, like, looked over at her and was like, let's do this? Or what, like, is that...
I said to Nancy, I like you, and she said, no. Right. Then a year later.
Two restraining orders later.
Then, things worked out. We got closer.
That's great, yeah. Man. Pepper spray will not stop love. It won't.
Not even onion spray.
Not even onion spray. So another thing that was really great to see is that you have your own radio show. Is it radio show or would you call it podcast?
I guess I call it a radio show because I don't know if people can get it in a podcast form. But I've been at Hamilton College. They opened the studio to people in the community. And I started doing just music shows, but then they wanted us to write down all the songs, and that was such a drag.
Yeah.
I would rather interview people than have to log the songs that I play.
Yeah.
So you actually initially started to play music.
Yeah, it was a music show, and I don't remember who the first interview was, but I started doing a few interviews, and got really into that, and it's just so much fun, and you can connect with people who are experts in their field and call them up on the phone. They could be in Alaska, they could be in Mexico. I interviewed somebody from Mexico. I used a calling card.
No shit.
Yeah.
So for everybody out there, why don't you just tell us the name of your show, place where they can check it out, and the days you're on, and just plug your steez, bro.
It's The Ringer with a W, WRINGER. You can catch it at WHCL.org. It's on Wednesdays, 8 in the morning to 10 in the morning. Or you can listen to it 88.7 FM or archived at radio4all.net. And then on the right-hand side is a search bar, and you just search for The Ringer.
And you're potentially going to be putting these up on iTunes eventually, right? Or are you going to maybe look into it?
I'm going to look into it.
Okay. So what is it, like, what do you talk about when you're on this show? I listened to a little bit of one, and it dealt with like some conspiracy theories behind 9/11 and things like that. Is that what your show deals with, things like that, or?
It really goes all over the place. Wherever my curiosity is at the time. And recently it's really been on health.
Yeah.
But all kinds of different topics. Like one of my first ones was on the anthrax scare.
You want here? I got some water right here, bro.
Thank you.
Go for it, brother.
I was noting, you mentioned the 9/11 thing, and you had a song that was before one of them. Was that someone you knew wrote that song? Was it something you just found? Or
that is the Carpal Tunnel Kid, and Building 7, 9/11.
It's a really interesting song, man.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you don't get to hear the whole thing there. I don't know if it's on Utikins for 9/11 Truth's website, but they got a website. They got all kinds of articles there.
I had no idea there was a local thing that dealt with that in the area. And here I was sitting for the past few years.
Sitting here in your crown of thorns.
You know, all alone, thinking I'm just another idiot that reads too much on the internet and is fucking freaking out. And there's a fucking local chapter down the street with four other guys just like me.
Four other
guys. Hell no, George Bush, you gotta go.
So let's hear your take. What do you think of 9/11? I mean, do you think it was a sham?
Well, yeah, I think the official explanation is a sham. Yeah, that those two towers, the planes hit them, and there was office fires that caused that steel frame building to fall at free fall speed. I don't believe that's the that's reality.
Yeah.
What do you think, Loaf? What's your gut tell you on this one?
My gut's telling me extra cheese.
More cannolis.
more cannolis. No. My gut is that the whole thing seems fishy to me, and there's a lot of evidence that obviously isn't going to be put into mainstream media because half of the mainstream media is controlled by these big corporations in the first place. I don't really trust. I think, first of all, and most importantly, whoever passed away from that thing, that's awful. That's number one. People died. That's terrible. Was our government potentially involved? I mean, I don't put anything past them. I mean, we do atrocities like that in almost, in every country, and we've started wars the same way. So it kind of seemed like everything fell into place. One of my classes that I took over the summer was a sociology class, and they talked about the Patriot Act, and it was just like, everything was like, it was like, that started, and all these things just kind of boom, boom, boom. People couldn't even react, and these, like, our rights were changing, and now it's like they can monitor what you're looking at in the library, and it's just, it's, So I don't trust it. I want, you
know. But you got free stickers that say power is pride from places that you get to put on your car.
I think that they make people think that they're right. They have more rights than they actually do in this country. I think people believe in some kind of democracy that doesn't exist at times, you know? I mean, you agree? I mean,
I'd agree.
You know, I mean, I think that we're more free than some places, but at the same time, I mean, there's more and more. I mean, we looked at this because in one of my classes the other day, we looked at the FBI's website, and if you go to their thing, it will, they have to, because of some privacy, like, they have to show you. They have looked at everybody, from the monkeys to Tupac to Martin Luther King. Everybody is on their list. So it's like, that's not freedom. You know what I mean? Whoa.
So because they're in a band and there's people that are just kind of inquiring,
what I'm saying is
they're not free?
No, what I'm saying is if you do anything that's slightly against the status quo of what they call unpatriotic, or they can look at you. I mean, they looked at this list was unbelievable. They had like guys on there that were like the most harmless people, the fucking monkeys. I mean, well,
maybe one of the guys was sketchy. He was like a CIA sniper.
We've had bigger things in history going on that could use attention like that, instead of like what a guy like Martin Luther King was doing, because he didn't fit into the agenda.
What was one thing, Pete, that you heard that you were like, I gotta, because I know what you were saying before, like, if I hear something that intrigues me, I'm going to delve my time into it, and I'm going to get into it.
Right.
What was that spark? Like, what was that for you with the whole 9/11? Were you, like, from the start?
Did you buy it from the start? Or
right, from the start, I didn't buy it. I just, like, from the start in my gut, something felt wrong about it. But then I don't remember what the first place or time was that I heard about it. But certainly I went to some of the lectures by Herb Smith, Unicans for 9/11 Truth. And he was at the Kirkland Art Center. He gave a presentation. And going to that, he really was very convincing. He had his PowerPoint presentations. Went through it point by point, especially with the Building 7, where plane hit that building. And it collapses
straight down in the middle of other buildings.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I remember seeing, for me, since I asked you the question, I'll answer my own. I saw like a pamphlet in it. Like, I remember seeing it in passing, almost like a dream. Like, just randomly, like, picked this pamphlet up. And it was explaining, there was like a golfer named like Payne Stewart who was playing. He died in the plane. I think he was flying the plane. And the plane, as soon as it went off course, the FAA was like, I think it's FAA. I'm not sure, the governing body. But they were there in like, you know, 15 minutes. They had a jet next to it and they realized what was going on. They were able to navigate it. And then you hear like these other planes were off course for this excessive amount of time around like a metropolis area of cities. And there was nothing done. You know, that was something. And so I was like thinking there, I'm like, shit, am I onto something here? Like, did I figure this out? Yeah. You know, but I fought it. Like, I fought the whole truth or whatever the truth is, because, like you said before, so many people died. You know,
we freaked the fuck out. We went out and bought guns like the day after. We were driving around Northern Vermont with like a gun. I was ready for like to look over the hill and see like all these like troops going over the thing. So we were just like, we were on high alert. I was like, I thought they were all coming after us. That's happened to me twice up there. Once I bugged out up there and we thought like, we heard all these explosions. We're like, well, they're coming over from Canada. We're all like huddled together and it was like, it was fireworks. Everybody was in a panic. It was fucked up, man. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny? I'm in a class with kids who are like 20 years old, and they talk about 9/11, and like they're like they're like, yeah, my parents let me watch it, and my teacher is like, how old? You know, she said something. I'm like, I was drinking a beer watching it. I'm like 11 years older than these fucking kids, but like, it's just a trip. Like, everybody watched it and freaked the fuck out. How could you not? It was crazy.
Everyone knows where they were. It was a change. You know, it changed. It was like Lennon getting shot, you know, like it just changed the streets, the vibe of the streets and everything. And why is the question, you know? And who's the guy that you were saying you heard? He does the Utica chapter of
Utica's for 9/11 Truth. Herb Smith.
Are there a lot of people involved in it? I mean, is there a core number of people that
it's a very small group.
Yeah, and they meet regularly, or is it not so much anymore because it's been...
I think they meet irregularly.
Irregularly.
It sounds like it's an Italian Catholic hotspot for hanging out. I think my father and his buddies were at the other day.
Yeah.
So...
Where were we when we see you get talking about conspiracy theories and just shit goes
down. One thing I want to say, you mentioned the Patriot Act, and one of my guests I interviewed was Francis Boyle, and I interviewed him about the anthrax scare in 2001, and that I heard a little blip about it on the news, and that this guy was some kind of expert on the topic, and he was saying that there's no way that this could have come from some terrorists like in a remote location. Because the level of sophistication of the anthrax that was created was so high tech that it had to be done by people within our own military.
Really?
Great news.
So I have 1,300 hits on that particular radio interview. But the other thing that he said that's one of these coincidences that should send out alarms to people is that the two senators who received the anthrax in the mail were the two who were voting against the Patriot Act.
Really? That's interesting.
Fox News left that out, I think, when I was watching it.
I think ABC left it out, too.
I'm not surprised.
It's a surprise.
You know? Do you follow, like, politics? Are you into political agendas, whether it be Democrat, Republican, whatever?
Not really. I mean, Frank Zappa says that politics is just the entertainment wing of the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. So who are you, like, going to vote for? If you don't mind us asking.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Who do you like?
I would probably...
Romney? You seem like a Romney guy.
I'm probably going to vote for Jill Stein. She's running on the Green Party, but I have to hear what the other third-party people have to say. I'm never really interested in voting for Democrat or Republican because I feel like they're the same wings of the same vampire bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't make that up. That's Bill Hicks.
I love Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
After Stein, it's... Elf, right?
Right.
After her is Elf.
I think
a write-in.
Roseanne Barr is running for president on a ticket in a different party than Green Party. I'm not sure.
Really?
Roseanne Barr, huh? She's out there. She's in Hawaii now, like, doing, like, organic almonds and shit like that.
Wow.
She's actually kind of, seems, my wife, like, fell in love with her. She saw a show on her, and she's out in Hawaii.
You do dairy? You drink almond milk, things like that? Or what do you?
No, I don't drink almond milk.
What do you think of hemp milk?
No, don't drink hemp milk. No. I've been reading some books about dental health, and what the book is saying in there is that you have to be careful of certain seeds have enzyme inhibitors in them.
Really?
Called phytic acid. And those are going to inhibit your body's ability to absorb certain nutrients like zinc and
manganese. And you can get that from like an almond milk type thing.
Anything that's a seed that hasn't been sprouted.
Sprouts are what's up, dude. I was on like a 2-week sprout kick where I thought, seriously, I was like going to look into sprouting my own shit. And then I just got lazy on it. But sprouts are supposed to be the bat, like some of the most highest protein, right? When something's like... Like
you just said when it 17 times in 4 seconds.
I just pounded a huge cup of coffee. When you have like a certain, like a lentil or whatever it is sprouted, like the protein and all that is like at its highest level, right? Or do you ever hear anything about that?
I haven't, but...
They say it's killer for you. Eating things sprouted is the best way to do it.
We did some sprouted fenugreek seeds. And it was really interesting because the fenugreek, after you eat it, you start smelling it come out your armpits, and it's like it's like a deodorant from the inside out.
Is it good, like fennel, like that smell?
No, fenugreek. It's a different. It's kind of. I think it's in curries a lot.
So I want a chick that smells like curry down below. You know what I mean? Make your eyelashes fall out when you go down there.
Oh my god!
what the hell was I had a question for you.
You had to bring in the vag, and
look,
you know,
we can't completely, you know. We got to throw in a little badge just to pre-connect the podcast.
I hear you. I was curious when you were hearing you talk about the farm, to go back to that. What's the winter like? Like, what do you guys, what happens?
Well, I'm hoping that we're going to slow down, relax, sleep in.
Do you see movies? Are you still into, you studied film in school, right?
I did, yeah.
Do you still watch, are you still into film very much, or is it?
Not really. I get concerned now that, the things that you watch are what, is, you know, your brain is built out of all these ideas that you encounter. So I don't want to fill it up with a bunch of filler.
Okay.
But certain things, most of the movies that I watch are really informational documentary kind of stuff. So not much on films these days.
What are you reading these days?
I'm reading The Calcium Paradox. It's about vitamin K2.
Sounds really interesting. Something I got to pick up.
Well, give us a quick...
quick synopsis. The bottom line is that K2 comes from grass-fed animal fats.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, whether you're eating meat that's in the fat of the meat where it's been grass-fed, or you're eating eggs that are grass-fed or milk from grass-fed animals, it all has K2 in it. Now, there's also sources of K2 for vegans that come from bacterial sources, like fermented soybeans have it. But the vitamin D helps your body to absorb calcium, and vitamin K2 tells it where to go in your body. So it goes to the right places, because if you have a deficiency of K2, you're going to get calcium buildup in the arteries, and then you're going to get the atherosclerosis. And if you, or it could build up in other soft tissues in your body and end up with having kidney stones or heel spurs. But when you have enough K2, then it goes into your bones and teeth and gives you strong bones and teeth.
Is there supplements for it?
Yeah, you can buy supplements. Yeah.
But you're saying grass-fed animals.
It's naturally occurring in grass-fed animals, and that's why...
grass-fed is better for you?
Grass-fed is better for you. And as a culture, that's why we have such a deficiency, because we've gone to a food system where so many of the animals are indoors in confined situations.
I'm glad you just told me that, because I'm a horrible reader. But now I feel more informed, so I appreciate that.
Well, I live up in Burlington, Vermont. We're all from the same area, but Freemanaka Podcast is kind of like a multi-state operation.
Mm-hmm.
And in Burlington, it's very, like, organic, you know, grass-fed kind of town. So it's cool to have a lot of that around. And you can definitely taste, taste the difference in the meat. And you feel a little bit better about yourself, because you're supporting a local farmer. And at least for what you hope, what they say, that, you know, you're putting something in your body that's a lot healthier for you than, like, some mass-produced.
Are you considered a farmer if you raise beef, or is there a different name? Do you know?
Rancher?
Are you a rancher?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I don't know. But I had a beautiful steak the other night.
Beautiful, was she?
It was cooked over a fucking an open flame. It was awesome, man. I stood outside in my coat. Like, it's good. It's good eatings, man. So... it was a pleasure to have you on the show. We'd like to have you on again sometime.
I'd like to be on again sometime.
Next time we're down in this area, we'll definitely have you on the show. One last time, why don't you tell people how they can hear you and hear your show?
Go to whcl.org. You can stream it live on Wednesdays from 8 in the morning to 10 in the morning. I take call-ins, 859-4200.
Prima Nocta should freaking call in on that show. Huh? We're add to a real nice conversation.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe we will. But that's good to know. Check this guy out. What about your food share? You should say that really quick, too. I mean, could people still be involved in that, like, at least next season? Or
yeah, if people want to sign up to get vegetables through the farm, if you want to inquire about that, just send an email to vegetables@riseup.net.
Cool. Well,
I appreciate you coming by, Pete, and being on it, and I'd love to have it back, because a lot of the things, you know, this was a quicker one than we normally do, and I think a lot of the stuff we could really go off on.
Yeah,
so,
we'll definitely have you on for a longer podcast next time. We'll have some sweet basil tea that you brought. And next time we're on the show, we're going to have Mike Leone, a world-class perv. he'll have a lot of interesting things to say. He's
You just wait and listen.
We'll be broadcasting this on iTunes, and
check us out on Facebook.
Check us out on Facebook, Prima Nocta. Twitter's going to be coming out too. We appreciate the love, everybody, and we're sending it back to you. We want to thank people one more time, and we'll see you next time. Peace.